Morning. Happy Sunday. Can I have all y'all stand up? How's everybody doing today? Very good. My name is Miles. I'm Pastor The Rock. How many visitors do we have? Raise your hand. We can see you all over. God bless y'all. Ladies in red. What's up, y'all? everybody comes to church with a lot of different emotions. There's thousands of people on all our campuses and all over San Diego. We have 5 campuses and 1 Oahu. And I'm sure every single one of us has a different emotion week to week, moment to moment coming to church. Some of y'all don't want to be here. Some of y'all excited to be here and everything in between. Can I get amen? Yeah. I have emotions too. So sometimes I'm excited. Sometimes I'm apprehensive. Sometimes I'm nervous. I'm nervous today. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Nervous is not a bad thing. God has been stirring in my heart. I'm going to talk about the resurrection power. And I want you to want God's power. Amen. One of my wife's standing here, and she knows one of my favorite singers is Sade. Y'all know Sade? Okay. If you don't know Sade, you need to know Sade. But she has a song called Is It a Crime that I want you to want me too. I want you to want him. Amen. And I want you, in my spirit, I want you to want the power of God. Amen. That you don't want just to, hey, I checked the box, I came to church, that God would do something in your life. And so I don't know why I'm nervous. I think probably what I'm nervous is that I get it right, that I say what God wants me to say. So let's all bow our heads and pray, and then we're going to get into it. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your power. Holy Spirit, I just want to openly acknowledge that you are here and let us all be on notice. Stir our faith to reach out to the presence of God in this room and in all our campuses. I pray that you would stimulate in our heart a desire to walk in the power of God, to have the power of God in our life. Thank you for your faithfulness. I know you're going to do something supernatural because that's the only way you know how to roll. And so I pray even now in all the campuses around San Diego and all the people watching online, and all the people in Hawaii, all the people who are watching this months later, that the Spirit of God is with them right there where you are. And I pray that we would just take a pause and invite you to have your way with our heart, with our mind. Speak to us. This may be your first time in church, and you are tripping right now. Amen. There's nothing to trip about. God loves you. And this is the most real thing you're going to know, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. So we pray for your faithfulness, we pray for your power, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a high five next to you. Give someone a high five. Come on, church. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. If you are a visitor, and I'll explain to my grandson, he's 9, we spent 7 hours at SeaWorld yesterday. We got there 9:45 in the morning, we left at 5 p.m. the night before he spent the night. And he says, Dad, Grandpa, how long are we going to stay? And I said, however long you want. He says, well, it opens at 10 and it closes at 6. I was like, whoa. We ain't talking about opening and closing times. You know, talking about like the morning. So I had to keep my word. But I wore him out. He was like, I'm ready to go. I'm like, yes. I'm trying to think why I brought that up. I was about to say something about him. There was a reason. I'll get to it. I'm getting old. Having a moment. For all y'all visitors here, I was explaining to him that when we pray for Sunday, we pray because there's all kinds of different people with different kinds of burdens and problems and different kinds of emotions. And we pray that God would do his supernatural work in all the people. So let me just give you a little context. If you're a visitor and maybe it's your first time in church in a while, we have 6 campuses, 5 in San Diego and 1 in Oahu, and all the people are watching online, and every single one of us is flawed. church is full of flawed people. There are no perfect people anywhere, not even at your job, on your softball team, your cheerleading team. There are no perfect people. So the reason we come here is because we know we're imperfect and we want to get better. And we also know we can't do it on our own. So we need to come to God because he's the one who created us. So that's why we're here. And we're going to read the Bible in a minute. The Bible is a book written by the Spirit of God, written by 40 authors over 1,600 years who lived on three different continents and they didn't know each other, all of them. And they wrote about one topic, the salvation of man. And it all coordinated. So it's supernatural. Not only is it supernaturally edited and put together, it is the most sold book in the history of the world. And it is a book of many genres. As a matter of fact, if you go to a bookstore and try to buy a book's on poetry. If you go to buy a book on, love stories, it's love stories. If you go buy a book on self-help. But you never buy a book that has all those different topics in one book. You just don't. They don't sell them except the Bible. And so the Bible is a supernatural book, so we're going to read from it in a minute. And the reason we're going to read from it because we believe God has said something in it that is going to help us be more like Jesus, because there's no better place to understand how to work the body and the mind and the soul except from the Maker, which is our God. So that's what we're going to do. And my prayer is that by the end of today, you, and I'll probably speak for another 25 minutes, 23 minutes or so, is that you would have a desire to have the power of God in your life. I was talking to a pastor recently, and he asked me, "Hey, can you give me some tips on being a pastor? Because I might want to be a pastor." And I started telling him some ideas. And one of the things I said to him is, "I don't want you to be a pastor for the power, to stand on stage. This is the easy part. This is the fun thing. I have people come to me and say, 'What do you do all week?' Listen, I work all week. This is like dealing with demons all week for real." This is the most fun thing I'm going to do all week is standing here in front of you. But the rest of the week is just dealing with demons. And I said, you don't want to do it because of what you perceive to be power, because it's an illusion. And then I paused and I said, but wait a minute, you do want the power of God. The power of man is all about achieving man's goals. The power of God is about achieving God's goals. So if you want the power of God, you want the power of God for God's purposes. God's power is designed to fulfill God's purposes. And so I want you to want God's power. Everyone say with me, I want God's power. I want God's power. Okay, you only want it for God's purposes though. You don't want God's power so you can say, look at me. And God's going to strike you. And I'm not going to say he's going to strike you dead, but he's not going to bless that. He wants to bless you with his power so he would get the glory. He wants to get the credit. And so if God has put you in a situation where it's an impossible situation, and he's calling you to do something, witness to somebody, start a business, and God can call you to start a business, do whatever it is, God's going to give you his power so he gets the credit, and it's going to be done in a way that only he gets the credit. Because it can't be about you. It's not about your hard work, though you should work hard. It ain't about your intelligence, though you should use your intelligence. It ain't about your education, though you should use your education. It's all about taking all the strength that you have in your own strength and saying, God, I'm submitting it to you for you to use it for your glory. And before I got saved, I would never speak in public because I didn't know I was a public speaker. I was scared to speak. As a matter of fact, I was asked to speak, and I was like, I'm not a public speaker. And then when I got saved, God said, no, I gave that to you. Talking a lot is not what you're supposed to use that for, because at the time, I was just talking a lot. I didn't know what that talking a lot was. He said, no, that's actually a skill. I'm going to use it, but you got to submit it to me for it to be any use. And so you want to submit everything you have to God for his power. Amen? So Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you shall be his witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You can't build the kingdom of God. You cannot build the kingdom of God, and you cannot do any good in the kingdom of God without God's power. Now, you can be intelligent, you can be cute, you can be smart, funny, and all that kind of stuff, but you can't, the only change is going to come with the power of God. So my encouragement to you is that you would want resurrection power. Resurrection power where God does something, brings something from that's dead to make it alive. That he gives you the ability to do what he did. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we were buried through him in baptism. By the way, there's a baptism today in all you campuses. Some of y'all are going to get baptized today. Very many of y'all get baptized today. But look what's going to happen. I'll move this over here. Look what it says. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. When we give our life to Christ, we say, God, I am crucified. I give up my life. I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm not going to do this for me anymore. It is tiring living for yourself. It is tiring trying to beat that person, be cuter than that person. Some of y'all ain't gonna be cuter than that person. You're just not. Some of y'all ain't gonna be richer than that person. You're just not. Some of you are not gonna be smarter than that person. You're just not. Some of you are not gonna be faster than that person. You're just not. But that's not the point. The point is not you be better than other people. The point is that you be like what Christ created you to be. And so in order to be what Christ created you to be, you have to surrender yourself. And it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. Resurrection power will empower you and enable you to walk in newness of life. How many of y'all want a new life? Amen. There's something in your life that needs to come alive. There's something in your life that needs to die. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Power is the ability to do. Power is the ability. This is power. The ability to lift it up. Power is the ability to do. Authority is the right to do it. I can hit you. I have the power, ability to do it, but I don't have the authority to do it, the permission. God wants to give you power, and then he wants to give you permission to use the power. And he wants to give you the permission to do. And by the way, God wants to give you power to do stuff you never imagined. I'm telling you, I talk to a lot of believers about this kind of stuff. And there are so many believers, and I will venture to say, and this is for sure, even though I haven't surveyed all the Christians in the world, that most Christians don't believe God wants to do the miracles that he wants to do in them. We settle. And I would venture to say, in a room this size, in a church outsized, that a lot of people say, well, I'm good where I'm at. I'm just going to go to church a couple times a month. I may read my Bible, but God's not going to do it. God wants to do. Look what the Bible says. This is what Jesus said. John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, if you believe in me, everyone say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He says, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you will do, and greater works than these, you will do because I go to the Father. Amen. This is what Jesus said. I want that. How many of y'all want God? How many of y'all want to do what Jesus did in your life? Let me just say this one more time. How many of you want to do what God has said he did? How many of you want to do what he did? Amen? Can I get amen? Okay. So the power or the ability to overcome your weakness, say, Holy Spirit, give me power over my weakness. He wants to give you power or the ability to hush your pride. Say, Holy Spirit. Hush my pride. The power or the ability to shut your anger, the power or the ability to stop doing drugs, pornography, beat your wife, yelling at your wife, yelling at your husband, stop yelling at your husband, cursing. The power or the ability to heal tumors. the power or the ability to pray for women who can't have babies and they have babies. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer right now. This is one of my favorite topics. Wherever you are, all the campuses, bow your head. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open wombs. There are women who are listening right now who can't have a baby. And just for context, we have seen dozens of women who have heard these prayers that God would open their wombs who've had babies. And they're in our church with their babies right now. So we pray that you would open wombs right now because you are the God who created the womb. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on, church. There's a word in Spanish called estimular. It means to stimulate or agitar, agitate, provocar, provoke. I want the Holy Spirit to provoke something in you that you just want God's power in your life. You don't even need to be real specific for right now. You just say, God, I want God's power in my life. And I want God's power to change the way I talk, to change the way I view the Bible, to change the way I view myself, to change the way I view my enemies, that God would do that in your life. We got 15 minutes. I'm gonna land this plane. This is a process. And you have to start this process of getting God's power slowly, because God is not going to give you supernatural big power all at once. My son was did CrossFit for, I don't know how long he did it for, and one day I said, I'm gonna go. It was Bring Your Out of Shape Parents Day. So I'm gonna go to CrossFit. Now, trust me, I have all 100% respect, especially if people work out, because I get that. I've been working out all my life. I get it. So I wasn't going there with no attitude or not. Trust me, those if you do CrossFit, you are awesome, okay? And it just so happened to be Max Day. I'm like, why would you bring me on Max Day? Max pull-ups, okay, 2. Max push-ups, 17. Max deadlift. I'm like, and you got these women in there doing 19, 17,000 pull-ups. I'm like, okay, pregnant moms jacking up 20. I'm like, what's up with this? I'm not joking. And these women are just running like this. And then they just take this weight. So they went to the deadlift, and I'm like, oh, I can do this. They got 300 pounds on the deadlift. I'm going to lift this up. And I get on there, and I go, and I picked the weight up, and right about right here, something in my back spoke to me. It spoke in frog language. It said, I was like, okay, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. So it's a process. Three things. I'm going to get this from Philippians chapter 3. Paul is has written a letter to the church of Philippi. Paul's epistles are letters to churches that he started, was involved with, and he's writing them for a specific reason. And he's writing this church in Philippi a letter, which is the book of Philippians. We call it a book. It's a letter. And he's basically thanking them for their support of him and his ministry. He's also addressing disunity in the church. But this particular chapter, he's addressing legalism. And he's going to tell them that you being a Jew and doing all these things right doesn't mean you walk with God. Doesn't mean you're accepted by God. And just because you have all these accolades and that you are Jewish and you were born a descendant of Abraham, that doesn't make you the family of God. What makes you the family of God is that you have surrendered your life to Christ and you have intimacy with the Spirit of God. That's true with us too. Just because you come to whatever church, whether you go here to church or somewhere else and you do a couple things and you never killed anybody. I mean, I can't tell people, I would ask them, hey, are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I never killed anybody. That makes you a Christian. You never killed anybody. Well, I go to the Rock. That makes you a Christian? That don't make you a Christian either. Okay, so Paul is explaining, and what he's gonna tell us is that he wants the power of the resurrection. That's his thing. Three things. I'm gonna let go of the past. Say, let go of the past. Say, let go of the past. I'm gonna pursue intimacy with Christ. Say, pursue intimacy. And then I'm gonna press on towards God. That's it. Say, press on towards God. Look what it says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. It says, this is Paul speaking. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Say, no confidence in the flesh. This is not getting me to heaven. My wallet's not getting me to heaven. My degrees are not getting me to heaven. My relationships are not getting me to heaven. My church affiliation ain't getting me to heaven. So this is what he's getting ready to say. But he's getting ready to go deep with it because Paul is a Jew who's a rabbi who's very well trained, very well respected. You're going to see here in a minute. And he says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, he's getting ready to flex. He's going to flex big time. Here's what he says. Though I also may have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, me more than all y'all. Basically he said, you think you're somebody? Not more than me. This is what he's saying. And then he says, just in case you didn't know, you need to know. And then he says, circumcised on the 8th day. In Genesis chapter 17, the Bible says, when you have a little boy circumcised on the 8th day, this is God. God says, I'm going to set my sons apart from all the other boys. I'm going to get them circumcised. That's how you're going to know the ones who are mine. Amen. You wonder where that came from. Ho. Circumcised on the 8th day. Why? And the 8th day is in a little baby's life. On the 8th day is when their blood clotting ability is at the highest. Oh, God, because God made it that way. And he says on the 8th day. Paul says, I was circumcised on the 8th day, just like the Bible says. He says, of the stock of Israel from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was the tribe from which came the first king in Israel. Benjamin was also one of the only two kids born of Jacob and his real wife, because he had babies from his wife's sister and his wife's maids. It's a long story, and he had 12 kids. And those, it's a long story. But he had 12 kids, and those 12 kids became the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says, I became from Benjamin. I'm not grafted in. Then he says, a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. I was as good at trained in the Bible as you can be. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. This is Paul, I was so zealous for Judaism that I killed Christians. Paul did. I don't know if you knew that. His name was Saul, and he arrested and had Christians killed. So he's telling these people, look, if any of y'all could brag about being sold out for Judaism, you can't be any more sold out and qualified than me. And then he says, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, the Bible, the Old Testament, I was blameless. I knew it. But what things were gained to me, I have counted a loss in exchange for knowing Jesus Christ. In other words, that stuff don't matter. You don't have to have degrees. You don't have to have, you know, have read the whole Bible, even though read the whole Bible, please. But you're never going to memorize or know the whole thing, because it's infinitely complex and infinitely deep, I should say. You don't have to have, you know, be ordained. You don't have to have money to have the power of God. You just need to say, Lord, I'm going to empty myself up and receive everything you have for me. And you got to stop trusting in this. And so when God calls you to say something, do something, speak something, you just say it, do it, and speak it. And let God deal with the rest, because he's going to take care of it. And so the first thing is that I am not going to trust in this anymore. And you can't leverage and trust in the power of man and the power of God at the same time. You can't. It's like if you got something in your hand, or you're holding it in both hands, and God says, I want to give you something else, you can't. You got to let go of both hands and then grab the other thing, because you can't have both, because God's not going to compromise. He's not going to compete with you. But if you say, Lord, now, when I say let go of, it doesn't mean you disregard it. A friend of mine, actually, I played with him at the Chargers, and he was like, you know, man, I'm so tired of people, you know, saying I played football, and he was referencing this passage. You know, that doesn't mean anything, and I'm not going to say it anymore. I said, bro, don't go that far. Why? Because God gave you that opportunity and that testimony to open up doors. But just know it's not the end all be all. It's something that you should absolutely leverage. If you know math, leverage your math. If you're the teacher, leverage that. But once you leverage that, once you start talking about spiritual things, now you have to say, God, I'm accessing your power. It doesn't mean that your natural abilities and your natural personality and your intelligence and your job skills and your training and your education is useless. Use all that. However, the power for miraculous is not going to come from that. The power for life transformation is not going to come from that. The power of your ultimate kingdom purpose does not come from that. It comes from God. So number one is that you have to let go of your past. Say, let go of the past. Stop leveraging that as the ultimate purpose of your life. It'll take it with you as far as your conversation. But at the end of the day, that's not your ultimate purpose. Your ultimate purpose is to walk as a child of God, and to leverage the power of the child of God. Number two, pursue intimacy with Christ. Say intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy comes from the word intima. Intima is the innermost coat of your organs inside of you. If this is your stomach, intima is inside your stomach. Intima is inside your intestines. It's the innermost inner coat of what's inside your body. And when you say, I want to be intimate with somebody, I want to know inside their heart. Whenever you talk to somebody, I was talking to a lady once, and she just had an attitude with me. I said, how you doing? She went, and she had an attitude. Women have attitudes. Guys are just knuckleheads. It's a little different. Like women. So I was like, huh. And God said, there's something going on. Don't trip. There's something going on. I said, what's going on? Make a long story short, she was having issues with her husband, and he was doing this and that, being, you know, knucklehead and blah, 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 blah. It had nothing to do with me at the time. At least this time, it didn't have anything to do with me. And but when people speak, positive or negative, they are speaking with a tone, and by the way, 70% of their communication is nonverbal, right? How many guys in here had a woman or have a woman or had a woman or want a woman? Just raise your hand up really high. Okay, let's try that one more time. How many guys in here, you had a woman, you have a woman, or you want a woman? Can I get an amen? Okay, gotcha. Just making sure. And let me say it this way. How many of you guys ever had to interact with a woman? How about that? Okay, because that's more of the issue here. You ever ask a woman a question and she tells you, any question, yes, she says yes, but you know she means no. Can I get an amen? Amen, that's how women are. I asked my wife, just this happened today. She's standing right there. She'll tell you. No, she's not going to tell you because she ain't coming up here. I would love her to, but she ain't coming up here, okay? If I asked my wife today, I had this is like my seventh outfit this morning I was trying on, and I had a shirt that was down to here. And I said, Debbie, is this shirt too long? And you know what she said? It doesn't match your pants. I'm like, that's not what I asked. But if you ask a woman a question, are you mad? And they go, no. The word said no, but everything else said, oh, sure, you know I'm mad. So when we speak, we have nonverbal, we have physical, we have tone, we have look, and then we have the word. The word is almost like the least important thing. But all that other stuff comes from something that's going on inside. Intima is where God is allowed on the inside. Look what he says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as garbage, rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found him in him, not having my own righteousness. My education is not my righteousness. My career in the past is not my righteousness. My money is not my righteousness. My righteousness comes from Jesus, which is from the Lord, but which is through Christ, faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know. Everyone say no. That's the word we're gonna look at. Know and him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That word know is gnosko. It's the same, that's a Hebrew word for the Greek word, a Greek word for the Hebrew word yada, which means to know somebody. And in Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says, watch this, Adam knew his wife Eve, and they conceived. Back up. Adam knew his wife Eve, and they conceived. Well, I know a whole bunch of y'all. We ain't conceiving. To know means intimacy, oneness. And when Paul says, I want God, I want to know God. I want to know him so much that he knows everything about what's going on inside of me, where he can look at my thoughts and my desires and my fears and my pains, and I can say, Lord, what do you want me to do with these? That's intimacy. You want power? That's it right there. Because when he can speak to your heart and you can trust him, say, God, you know, I'm having this insecurity issue. I don't think I'm pretty enough. I don't think I'm rich enough. I don't think I'm good looking enough. I don't think I'm smart enough. I don't think I'm articulate enough. Can we talk about that? That's what's in my heart. I'm covering up my insecurity by doing this, by doing this, by doing this. Can you help me? That's knowing God. And when you can let God on the inside of the inside of the unseen you, not only the seen, but the unseen, your soul, that you would pursue that by reading his word, by being in prayer, by being honest. And when you're in prayer, you're listening more than talking. Because you don't have anything to say that God doesn't know. He wants to hear you because he loves you and he wants you to say it. But what he has to say to you is more important than what you have to say to him. But that you can say, Lord, I just want to know the power. I want to be intimate with the power. And by the way, Adam knew his wife, Eve, and then they conceived. When you know God, something's conceived. You cannot know God and something not be birthed in you, an idea, confidence, a vision, clarity. And so, God, I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to know about your ability to do in me, and I want to know about and have intimate connection and dependence and interaction. I want to have intimate connection and interaction with your ability to do through me. Amen. What do you want to do through me? Speak to me. And then lastly, press on. Look what Paul says. Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already attained or already am perfected, but I press on. Everyone say press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. I do not count myself having apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on, say press on, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. You can't ever stop. I'm gonna tell you four animals. Number one, an Arctic tern. Look at this little bird. An Arctic tern, in order to find food, flies from the Arctic, top of the world, North Pole, all the way to the South Pole and back, 44,000 miles. The bart-tailed gotwick flies 6,800 miles nonstop over the ocean. 1 week, never stops. Doesn't eat, don't sleep. A week straight. The monarch butterfly flies 3,000 miles, North America to Mexico. The gray whale, Baja California to the Arctic, 12,000 miles. Now, not only, and I can go on and on, all the animals that migrate from one location in the planet to another location in the planet, same time every year, same place. How do they know? How do they know where to go? How do they know why to go? They go there to find food. They go there to find warm water, cool water. They go there to mate, to have a baby, and then bring it back. How does that happen? Now, you could say, well, it's over evolution in millions of years. Okay, but if it took them 1,000 years to figure it out, they would have died, so they wouldn't be around to even try it. It's not like you could try to figure out how to eat over a year. You got to know how to eat day one, or you die. But here's the point. Is that the God who created them spoke to them and speaks to them every day in his own way. God speak to animals. Listen, we speak to animals. I was at SeaWorld. They were speaking to dolphins, tell them how to bark and sneeze and roll over dead. We can figure that out. God spoke to them and said, here's what I want you to do. However he communicated that to them. The Holy Spirit is speaking to some of y'all right now. And he's saying, come. I want you to leave the Arctic. I want you to come down to Antarctica. I want you to leave North America. I want you to come to Mexico. I got something for you. I want you to walk away from your life, and I want you to walk to me. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you right now, all bow your heads and close your eyes. And while I am speaking, the Spirit of God, and I'm praying the Spirit of God is speaking to you, that you would get up. I'm going to speak for about another 90 seconds. So I want you to get up out of your seat and come down to the altar. And all the campuses, I just want you to get up out of your seat and just come down to the altar, because God, I believe God is calling somebody for transformation. He's calling you because you want more power in your life. You want more revelation in your life. You want miraculous anointing in your life. I want to ask the prayer team to come down on all the campuses, come down to the altar. Lord, I just pray right now that there's somebody you're speaking to. Somebody's. God bless you. Come on down. Come on down. Let the people come down. Get up out of your seat. Lord, thank you so much for your anointing. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Come up out of your seat. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Come on down. Have the prayer team come down. And all the campuses. And in the campuses, I'm going to pray for you, and you're out here in a minute. But I'm going to ask all the people on all the campuses, Holy Spirit, stir people's hearts. God bless you. God bless you. Stir people's hearts. That they would follow and allow the Spirit of God to move in their life. Come on down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Pray this prayer with me if you would like the power of God in your life. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Pray this prayer with me. Say, pray to God. I need more power. I need more anointing. I need more revelation. I surrender myself to you, God. I forget what's in the past. I will press on to apprehend what you have apprehended for me. I pursue intimacy with my Savior. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's remain heads closed. Let the campuses go. Let's remain heads closed, eyes bowed. If you prayed that prayer on the count of three, I just want you to get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. One, two, three. Come on down to the altar. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't leave yet. Just come on down here to the altar. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Come on down here. Come on, church. Come on, church. More of y'all want this. More of y'all need this. More of y'all need a miracle in your life. Come on down to the altar. Come on down to the altar. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, church. Come on, come on, let's keep encouraging them. Let's keep encouraging them. Lord, I pray for all these people that are down here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you say if we knock, you will open the door. If we seek, we will find. If we call to you, you will tell us great and mighty things we don't know. So I pray, Spirit of God, I pray that you would fill all these people with your power and that all of us here sitting in our seats, standing at our seats, that we would take a moment today to acknowledge your presence in our life. And we would take a moment today to pay attention to the hunger and thirst for righteousness in our life and holiness in our life. That we would take a moment to cry out to you and say, Lord, I want more. I want more. And I pray that for our church, and as we go into Easter weekend in 2 weeks, I pray we will be praying about who we're going to bring. I pray we pray about what service we're going to go to, that will be a very strategic weekend for us. But Lord, we don't want the status quo anymore. In Jesus' name, amen.